Wow! Wow! Do you see why I love the fathers? When they speak, they can slap you left and right and you can't say anything. They can give you uppercut, you can't say anything. They can do karate like this and there's nothing you can say. Because you know it's true. Yes. It's true. What a blessing. I'm so happy that Bishop Mosa and Bishop Oliver introduced me to this wonderful father. I'm also adopting him as a father for myself. Amen. It's a blessing. Fathers are wonderful. And I think I have taken, perhaps, there was something that he said that I think must be God. It was the part that I was stunned. That the reason why he cannot be proud is because he has traveled to 130 countries and has seen so many things that you immediately know where you fit. And where you fit is zero. Hey! Peter standing up with the 11. It's enough. Will you ever forget it? He didn't stand. Peter standing up alone. No. What is the African disease? Hey! Dedicated ignorance. Sincere ignorance. Forgive. Listen. You know, Rick Joyner had a vision. One of the things he said was that the mantle of an apostle were combined with the mantle of another apostle or a pastor, another pastor, whoever. And it will multiply their authority. And the scripture, it was a vision. And the scripture he used was that one shall put to flight 1,000 and two shall put to flight 10,000. That's why God brings us together. Yeah, because it multiplies what we are doing. It multiplies what we are doing. That's why Peter stood up with the 11. And not alone. Yes. Sometimes I picture myself as hanging on many threads. So many people are supporting me. Most everything I do is so many people are working. Yes. And it's a great thing. If God had not tied my heart to the heart of Bishop Mosa many years ago, we would not be here. We wouldn't be here. That's all. So don't break the important relationships God gives you. They are lifelong relationships. Amen. Peter standing up with the 11. You will stand up with 11 other people. And you will be a success in the ministry. You will be heard of not only today, but in the future. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Judas was out. There were 11. Peter standing up with 11. Oh, they had replaced. They had replaced. Yeah. So there were 12. Wow. What a blessing. Take your seats for a moment. Before we go for our lunch break, I want to continue sharing about the ministry work And what I want to share with you about, and I believe we have 20 minutes, is the art of ministry, which is the art of shepherding. What it means to become a shepherd, and what it means, the art of shepherding, and the art of ministry. Okay? Now, 130 countries. How many of us believe that we are going to go? Everybody must aim. 130 is a bit much. Maybe let's aim for 100. I feel it's going to make us more and more humble. And I have wonderful news, because in the last week, three countries have invited us. And this is churches like this, which are big churches and have a network and so on, invited us to have Iron Sharpeneth Iron Conference in the country. So my prayer is that all of us will be there. You'll be there. Why will you be there? Because of humility. Well, exactly what Dr. Elijah has told us, that he cannot be proud, because he should be proud. He should be proud. That's why you see, I feel like, why should I teach? There's somebody who can give birth to me. He can give birth to me. My mother's age is about his age. He can give birth to me. So how can you say that you are listening to me? You know? And I mean, honestly, if God could just grant us one blessing, would be to be humble. It would be the greatest blessing that we could ever have. So I think, Dr. Elijah, I'm going to take it as a personal word that every time I travel around, it's going to help me to downgrade my impression of myself, so that I can always have a lowly mind. And I think maybe it comes naturally by traveling. The church I came from in Panama, you see thousands. They start in the morning. There is nothing like a program. It's the first church I went to. There's nothing like 9 to 12 is this person. This, you don't know when you are preaching. You'll be invited. And then as you are there, you will be told, okay, you are going at 6 o'clock. You are going. That's how it is. This is a flow. And there is no demarcation between sessions. When they start, it just, people just go in and out. It's like God is there. You can come in and go. Yeah. There's no demarcation between sessions. It's when I went this time, they had a big clock like this. And the pastor was standing behind me, behind the stage, and he told me, we used to have the Holy Spirit, now we have a clock. I mean, he was joking, but he told me, you know, the Holy Spirit has been replaced by that clock there. He's a funny pastor and he's always making jokes. Yeah. You will see that you think you are doing something, but doing nothing. Yeah. We have been invited to Sri Lanka. Are you going to come to Sri Lanka? Do you know Sri Lanka? I'm going to ask you the capital of Sri Lanka. If you get it right, you are going to get a prize. $100. $100. Five of you don't know that. You see, we don't know much. Yes. You don't know the capital of Sri Lanka. Yes. You are all checking on the internet to see where the capital is now. You don't know the capital. But you will be there. And when you step there, you realize that, wow, we thought we were working for God in South Africa, not knowing that we are not doing anything. And so then you come down to real size. Everybody lift your hand. Pray for humility as you grow in the Lord, to be more humble, so that in the hour of your death, you will be truly a humble person. Father, we ask for this in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Give us grace. Take away pride from our eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great. So, Sri Lanka, will you be there? How about Kuala Lumpur? Do you know Kuala Lumpur? Some of you don't. You see, even the name, you don't know. The capital of Sri Lanka is Colombo. Not Columbus. Colombo. Wow. Now, the art of ministry, the art of working for God, art of shepherding. Okay? Now, shepherding skills of Jehovah. Chapter 26 of this book, The Art of Shepherding. Now, everybody say, I am a sheep. So, when you become a pastor, you are sort of in a confusing position. Because you are both a shepherd and a sheep. Do you understand? It's like a doctor who is both a patient and a doctor. Like a doctor can be a patient of a doctor, and at the same time he can be a doctor of a patient. So when you become a pastor, you are sort of in a confused or confusing position. Because you are both a shepherd and a sheep. So what God does for you as a shepherd, you are also supposed to do for others as a shepherd. Alright? Now, a shepherd is the basic work. Being a shepherd is the basic work of someone who is called by God. If there was anything we were to ascribe to Jesus, we would probably ascribe to him that title, the Good Shepherd. Is it not true? We are not likely to say the good prophet or the good apostle or the good, maybe teacher also, rabbi. But shepherd, rabbi are the most common things we associate with Jesus. All right? Now notice Matthew chapter 9 verse 36. And it's only 20 minutes because of lunch. 9:36. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no prophet. As sheep having no what? Shepherd. You see, you may think to be a prophet is important. But look at what the Bible says. They were scattered and dispersed. There are no congregations. There are no gatherings. The work is not working. Not because there is no prophet, but because there is no shepherd. People have laughed at me because of the word shepherd. I always teach about what it means to be a shepherd. This is one of my favorite books I wrote, and is the book which every pastor in Lighthouse must read and pass exam on before you become a pastor. You have to. Where is the book? Has it gone now? When you are picked, then you move. Okay. What it means, you must be what it means to be a shepherd. Amen. Dr. Ogo, please help me transform your pastoral ministry. These are the three books on shepherding. Never think that to be a shepherd or a pastor is inferior to being a prophet. Never think that. You are deceiving yourself. Jesus is a good shepherd. The good shepherd. It is the great work. The great work. That God sent Jesus to come and do. Hallelujah. And with Jesus commissioned Peter to do. Yeah. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Look after the people. Looking after the people is the great work that God has called us to do after people are saved, is to look after the people. Look at Matthew 9. Go back there quickly. Go back to Matthew 9, 36. He saw they were scattered. There was no shepherd. Look, let me tell you something. And listen carefully. To be a shepherd, if you ask me, summarize, is to be a lover of the sheep. You like the people and you love them. That's it. I mean, if you ask me to summarize, that is it. So if, and I will say to you, and you see, in the Nigerian language, the word shepherd and the word pastor are the same. Who knows how to speak Nigerian? You know how to speak Nigerian? What do you, where is that? Okay. Nigeria, Yoruba. What is shepherd? What is pastor? Say it slowly because we thought it was tongues. So say it slowly. How do you say shepherd? How do you say pastor? Is it the same word?
The same word.
Exactly the same word. So shepherd and pastor are exactly the same. Never think that it's an inferior job to be a shepherd. If you want to marry a pastor, you must make sure that you have enough space in your heart to be married to somebody who is going to love people and love more than you. Because if it's going to be just love me and your two children, then do not marry a pastor. Marry a banker. Marry a pilot. Marry an accountant. Marry a KFC supervisor. Marry somebody else, but do not marry a pastor. Because the work of a pastor is to love the people. I'm telling you. Without love for the people, you can never be a shepherd. You can never care for people. You have to love them as though they are your biological relatives. I'm telling you. And I know pastors. When I see pastors, the first thing you feel from them is love in their heart. It's like they are looking after their family members. Not any one blood biological relation, but that is God's heart that has been deposited in them. They like the people. They want the people to do well. In all this prosperity preaching we have, most of it comes from pastoral love. You want your people to do well. I'm telling you, that's where it comes from. Only that it can go off. And it has gone off, it seems. But if the pastor wants to, you look at the people, look, a pastor, he cares, he wants the people to prosper, to marry, to do well. So their marriages to be nice. So when you stand outside the window of their room, you hear laughter, not slaps or anger or quarrel or table tennis or hot water. Hey! Verse 37. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few." And verse 38. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers." What kind of laborers? Shepherds. Shepherds. God wants more shepherds or carers of the sheep. Amen. Now, not only is Jesus a good shepherd, but Jehovah himself is a good shepherd whom we must learn from. And many of the sheep are lost without the shepherd's care. What are the ways by which Jehovah demonstrates his shepherding? Ezekiel 34, verse 11. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. Everybody, please, follow things that I'm saying that are in the Bible. Try to connect my preaching to the verses in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, you disconnect from it. Connect what I'm saying to what is in the Bible. Is Jehovah a shepherd or he is not a shepherd? He is a shepherd, not because I say so, but look at Ezekiel. Bring up the verses 11, 12, 13. "For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, put all the verses there, please. I, even I, will search my sheep and seek them out. I'll search for them and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in a day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So you see, God is likening himself to a shepherd. Not only is Jesus a shepherd, but Jehovah is a shepherd. And he is going to search for the people. Look, the church, let me tell you, Grace Bible Church pastors, listen to me. You see the work you are doing here in Grace Bible Church? Take it from me. There is a higher level of caring and a higher level of shepherding work that can be done in Soweto than what you are doing. I know it by word of knowledge. I don't have to go into your offices to know. I know it. Whatever you are doing, there is a higher version of care and searching for people. Most of you don't search for people. If all the people who have ever been part of Grace Bible Church are to come to church on Sunday, we will stretch from here to Vista University. I'm telling you. Bishop Moses, am I telling lies? Yeah. He says, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock. These are, you search for people. That's why a good shepherd has maps with streets and addresses. The shepherd I saw in the Philippines, that's why, you see, when you travel, when I entered that shepherd's office in the Philippines, I downgraded myself to a lower version of a pastor than, because I saw the street map everywhere. With dots. I said, what is this green dot? Green dot is one person. This red dot is a family. Hey! 30,000 members. It's not, and he swipes everybody who comes. He has some electronic thing that he's using to know that you don't come to church on Sunday. He knows that you didn't come. Yeah. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. The pastors of Grace Bible Church should be seen on the streets of Soweto walking. We are looking for people. I'm looking for this person. I'm looking for this guy. You don't even know that some of them, you don't even know that they are dead. You don't even know that they don't live in this area anymore. And they are under your care. You wait till you get to heaven. You will arrive there smiling. Smile, I arrive in heaven, and suddenly you will be attacked. A mob will land on you. I will seek out my sheep, myself. I will deliver them out of the places they have been scattered. This is a shepherd. I will deliver you from that place. Where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the people and gather them in. That's why we don't have large churches, because you've left the people. It's like you don't come, it's your problem. Go to hell. You didn't come to church, go to hell. You are, I don't care, whatever. The mayor came, the deputy mayor came, the director of ANC, protocol advisor came, and the business owner of the carpet seller came. But who is that guy who didn't come? That poor man who didn't come, that guy who was, he didn't come to church, let him go to hell. Let them go to hell. Not Jehovah. That's not how God pastors. That's not how Jehovah looks for people. I will search for them in all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I will bring out my people and gather them from the countries. I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers and in all the inhabitant places of the country. I, Jehovah, this is what I'm going to do. I will gather them and I will feed them. I will teach them. I'll teach them. This is a pastor. Pastor God. This is Pastor God. What do you say? Let them go to hell. Is there a problem? They should know better. They don't want to come to church. They can go to hell. And when a church gets big, You can't even see the people anymore. But some of you, you have just 60 members. You don't even know their names. And you call yourself a shepherd. We are going deeper into shepherding work. You still don't even know their name. When you say, you say what? You call them, You call, you, come. You call in a sheep. When Jesus says, I know them by their name. You don't know 60 people. You don't know their names. You are calling them, excuse me. Excuse me, hello. You there. So, we have to learn how to search for people. I want to see South African pastors rising up and going to look for people in their houses. Why can't you go and search for people? Why can't you go and say, who are you? Too big for what? Too big to go around walking on the streets of Soweto or go around looking for people? Oh, that place is dangerous. And now, the government has said, it's dangerous. It is dangerous. You don't go to such places. It will always remain dangerous. Who is going to bring the light into that area? It is you that they are waiting for. And just as sometimes the government has forsaken all those places, you, the man of God, and you, the pastor, have equally forsaken all those people and forsaken all those places because they are not rich people. You should see pastors going to rich people's houses. You should see pastors going to businessmen's houses. Oh, the mayor, the deputy mayor. Oh, the director of finance for the district. The assistant ANC director is here. The so-and-so, the president's attaché, the president's sister-in-law. These are the people. Then you see the pastor visiting and... we'll be coming to the house. We'll come on Tuesday. Since you are now the deputy mayor. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Following power. You are following money. You are a shameful shepherd. Yeah. Jesus loves the little lambs. Jesus loves the little girls, the little boys, the nobodies, the poor people. He says, I will seek for them myself. I will search for them myself. And I will feed them. So Jehovah's shepherding skills. One is he searches for people. So now let us begin to have maps. Let us begin to register our members. Those of you who are running churches without registering the members. Those of you who know computers. It's time for you to use your computer for shepherding work. When we go to shops now, they want to ask our addresses. What's your address? Are you a regular customer? Here is a card to send you email to register. Every shop, everybody writes your email address. They are all trying to connect to you. Even banks go on visitation to search for people. Banks, do they do it in South Africa now? They give you birthday cakes. They do all sorts of things. They search for their customers. And they have computer system databases. That's what a database is for. A database is for sheep. It's for addresses. It's for roadmaps. It's for understanding, using networking to understand where our people that God gave to us. Don't only look for rich people. You are the most shameful misrepresentation of a shepherd if you are just looking for rich people. I said you are the shameful misrepresentation of a shepherd. Look, I hardly visit any rich person. I visit. Hardly, you don't get me time following business marriage. Look, if you've been a pastor for some time, you will know that those rich people, they don't even give much. Rich people are the lowest givers. If you are experienced in pastoral work, they'll sit there with their bigness and all. When it's time to give, they'll be looking at you. Yes, they don't give. And when your church depends on 3 or 4 big people, you are setting yourself up for confusion and disaster. The day an evil spirit enters their mind, and often evil spirits are trying to enter their mind. When an evil spirit enters, they say, I'm leaving. I leave you. I can't stay here. The way you preached the other time against polygamy, you were speaking against my third wife, and I don't like it. And when such people come to church, you can't even dance in church anymore because they have occupied the front with their stiffness. And their starchy appearances. And so there's no flow in the church anymore. No more dancing, no more happiness, because Mr. Big Shot is sitting right in front there. One day, a certain pastor invited the president and some other dignitaries to the church. And that day was, I think, something to do with the church building. So the president and other ministers, and they were all there. And it was a large crowd, and the pastor was in need of money to pay for things. Hey! He didn't take the offering seriously, or just, you know, quick something. And after he told me, he said, I am in need, struggling. I said, why do you take off? He said, didn't you see the people sitting there? I cannot maneuver. Could not take the offering the way they were sitting there. Yeah. Because when you come and stand there with an envelope, I need 10 people to give 1,000. The president is sitting there. The security guards and others will say, you are wasting time. You know, we have to live by whatever. Yes. The whole service is affected. When they say praise and worship, you would have been dancing. Special South African dances. You cannot dance anymore. Yes. But this is what we want. Yes. But we don't want people. But I want people. I like young people. I like young people. I like poor people. I like every person God gives me. If there's rich, if you are rich, if you are not too big to be around me, I can stay with you. Oh, yes. I have some important people around. Yeah. Our church also has such people. But they can never be your priority. Amen. Number two, Jehovah Shepherd delivers the sheep that have been held captive. Amen. The same verse. Number three, Jehovah gathers. Gathers. This is a gathering. Let's have more gatherings in Soweto. Let's have more branches in Soweto. Let's have more branches where you came from. Let's grow. Amen. Number four, Jehovah feeds the hungry sheep. Ezekiel 34 verse 14. I will feed them. Pastors, let us start feeding. Not giving motivational speeches. Feeding. With the word of God. Jeremiah 3:15, it says that I will give them pastors after my own heart. Huh? Who will feed the people with knowledge and understanding. This is the type of shepherd we need. This is the type of pastor who feeds with knowledge and understanding. Pastors, are we going to feed our sheep? With what? Knowledge and understanding. Because the sheep need to understand what is happening in this world. I will give you pastors after my heart. If you want to be a pastor after God's heart, this is it. You know, these verses, they are the most wonderful verses because it's written in English. You don't even need to interpret. A pastor after my heart. A pastor after my heart. This is a good pastor, like a pastor after my heart. I will give them pastors. This is King James Version. I will give you pastors according to my heart who will feed the people with knowledge and understanding. Look at the book on model marriage. Hallelujah. They are my sheep getting married, and I feed them with knowledge and understanding about so many things. Where is the book? Doctor, so many things. And somebody said, what is that? I'm feeding them with knowledge. Marriage is different from boyfriends and girlfriends. Those of you who've had boyfriends and girlfriends, you know that it's different when you marry. Yes. Boyfriend and girlfriend is different from husband and wife. Some of you have been girlfriends for people, but you've not been a wife. Yeah. Being somebody's girlfriend and having sex with somebody in a car somewhere is is different from being the wife and the madam. Hey! And bearing children, looking after children, and being a real wife, somebody who provides. Some of you can do your hair, nails, eyes, but you cannot cook. You cannot do anything. You are an empty shell walking around. Yes. Can't cook, won't cook. In the house, it is like two boys are living in the house. Yes. Two boys. But you see, a lot of pastors are Josephs. Joseph husbands. So they don't speak. You know, Joseph was going to marry Mary, and he found out that she was pregnant. And the Bible says that he was a good man. And he decided to put her away privately. Like, don't say anything. So when you are Joseph, you don't say bad things about the person that you are marrying or you are going to marry. You get what I'm saying? So a lot of pastors are Josephic husbands. Yes. So they don't say, even if there's something wrong, they just, oh, how is marriage? So by the grace of God, by the grace of God. Meanwhile, there are hungry lions in the house. Hey! He said, look at that. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, was not willing to make her a public example. No way. No way. Yes. One husband told me, he said, look, I am a scavenger in my house. Yes. One day I visited him and I saw his favorite food was bananas. So I asked him, why are you eating these bananas? He said, to fill up the stomach. Yes, to fill up. Because he doesn't get food to eat. He has become a specialist banana. It's as if he's a gorilla. All my stories are true. Yeah. Can't cook. Shan't cook. Won't cook. Yes. So, look at this book. It's so many pages to feed the sheep with knowledge and understanding about what they are going into. It is not a simple arrangement. And when I speak here, I'm preaching about pastors. You know, these are leaders, spiritual leaders, and our marriages, which is different from normal Christians. All the things I'm saying don't apply to the normal Christians. It applies to pastors and leaders and our issues. Yes. That's why I talk the way I talk. If you should hear me preaching on the other side to marriage, normal marriage, non-pastors, you will hear a different message. Yeah. Because when you are a pastor and you marry, the balance of power has shifted. Yeah, shifted to the woman. She's more powerful. There are so many things she can do to you. You can't do anything. Being a just man, you will never do anything. You'll be there like that. Whatever you get, you get it. Are you receiving knowledge and understanding? Hey! All sisters must learn how to cook. Yeah. These modern sisters. You can't even fry an egg. What is left of you? Do you think when you marry, we are just going to put on hair? When you go to the house, you remove the hair and you change completely. It's all right. Look, these ladies, the lot of the hair you are, is not real. If you hold it and you pull it, it will come off. If you pull it right now, it will come off. It's from Brazil. All right, Jesus is feeding us. Number five, Jehovah is providing rest. Amen. Six, Jehovah binds up the headship. God wants us to heal people that are hurt. Many people are hurt, offended in life, by issues. God is calling people who care. How deep is your love? Will you be there when God needs a shepherd? Oh. Number seven, Jehovah the shepherd strengthens the weak sheep. Ezekiel 34 verse 16. Look at it. Ezekiel 34 verse 16. I will strengthen that which was sick. When people are sick, we must visit them. Pray for them. Hey! When God spoke to me about crusades, he said, pray for the sick. Always pray for the sick. You will not know. If you've been at crusade, you see sick people. Look, they want you to just touch them. You don't know what it means. Many sick people, all the sick people who come to crusade have already been to the hospital, and they are sitting there as a result of what the hospital can do. That is the maximum achievement of the hospital, that you see them sitting there in the wheelchairs. Yeah, like after going to for medical care and everything, this is them sitting there with all the problems. So at the end of the day, it's what can God do for me? And that is why pastors must pray for the sick. Hallelujah. Number eight, he will guide you. Guide you. He will guide the directionless sheep. For thus says the Lord God, I will both search for my sheep. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that is among his sheep, I will seek out my sheep. I will deliver them. Ezekiel 34 verse 11. I will bring them out. I will bring them to their own land. God is going to guide you. Hallelujah. How many want God to guide you? He will carry you. Number nine, he will carry the sheep. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40 verse 10. He will carry you. Isaiah 40 verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm will rule, and his work is before him. Verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. He shall carry them in his bosom. And he shall gently lead those that are with young. Wow. How many would like to be in God's church? Would you like to have God as your pastor? I mean, look at Isaiah 40. Look at that. Look at how kind he is. He shall feed his flock. He's feeding them. He gathers the lambs with his arms, like the little ones, those that don't really understand the scriptures, those that don't understand what is happening in life. People don't know what's going on, what's happening to me. He will carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead those that are with young. You know, that's why sometimes you find us laughing in church. Because God is gently leading you. It's like, the truth is very hard, but let's laugh a little bit. It's very hard, let's laugh a bit. It's gently. Gently, we are leading you along. Because you can't stand the truth just alone. Pure truth is too hard. Jesus came with grace and truth, not just truth. Truth and grace. The truth is too wild, too fantastic. The truth about our lives is too amazingly bad that, I mean, it's almost unbearable. You notice when we did the drama, after an atmosphere changed in the church, and it's everybody became sort of cool, because the drama revealed the reality of what happens. And everybody was sad. Everybody was, wow. Yes. And he gently leads us. Listen, we must learn, doctor, the art of hearing. We must learn to follow the shepherd. What is the hope of a cow that has decided to walk from Cape Town to Johannesburg or to Polokwane? What hope a cow, let's take a cow that says, I'm moving from Cape Town Airport, I'm going to Polokwane. Is there any hope of this cow? How many, where do you think this cow is going to get to? Chisanyama, isn't it? That is you. What hope do you have without a shepherd? I tell you, your life is hopeless without a shepherd. And people are hopeless without a shepherd. Just take a cow walking from Cape Town. What is the nearest town? To baby Port Elizabeth. Let's say a cow says, oh, I'm going to PE. See you later. Do you think he will ever get there? On this earth, if we give him 50 years, do you think he will get to Port Elizabeth? He will never get. He will never be. That is how exactly we are. In two ways. The first way is that you as a person, without the guidance of the Spirit, that's why I picked this book, The Art of Hearing, that you can hear God. You will never get to the destiny and the place that God has determined for you for your life. It will never happen. Your destiny depends on your ability to hear and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You are like a cow trying to walk from Mozambique, Maputo, to Cape Town. You won't even get to the border. You will turn into somebody's beef and onions, beef with onions and fried rice. It's finished. You are done for. You turn into somebody's hamburger. You turn into somebody's steak. You turn into somebody's chisanyama. Somebody said, what is this cow doing here? I've seen a cow like that here before. Well, it doesn't know what to do. Whose cow is it? Whose cow is it? We can't have stray cows moving here. Look, if by tomorrow then we can't see the owner of this cow, better shoot this thing. Kill it. Look, we don't have meat. Yeah, that is the end. Finish. There is no hope. I have no hope without him guiding me. I have no hope unless I can learn how to hear him. Yes. I can hear how to hear him. When I was going to get married, I took time to pray so that I wouldn't marry the wrong person. Yes. Because marrying can lead you off course. Look, do you know, remember when the angel came to Joseph? Remember what he told her? Joseph. When Joseph found out that she was pregnant. Do you remember? Are you forgotten? He said, don't be afraid to marry. Because there are some people you must be afraid to marry them. You must be properly afraid to marry them. You must be afraid. Your marriage to that person is the end of your ministry and your life. You have married a tiger. You have married a challenger. You have married an opposer. You have married an accuser. You have married a distraction. Why do you think Jesus didn't marry? It was too dangerous. Can you imagine Jesus on the cross? Jesus was going to die on the cross. Mary, whoever it was would have said, Lord, my darling husband, listen to me for once. Is it not true? Listen to me for once. You never listen when I talk. Listen to me for once. Just this time. I am your wife. I'm not one of those girls. I am not one of those girls. I am your wife. What are we going to do when you go and die on the cross? What are these children going to do? Two children. Little Thomas and little Matthew. And Jesus would have looked, and Jesus had to be beating when he looks at this wife, little Thomas, little Matthew, and little Matthew would say, Daddy, don't go. Daddy, don't go! Daddy, don't go! Daddy!
Jesus' wife would have told the children, go and tell your father. Go and tell your father to stop what he's doing.
Junior, Jesus Junior,
hold that is like, tell him not to do it.
Wow. Don't be afraid to take this woman as your wife, because there are some people you must fear. Yes. There are wives who have told their husbands, the husband said, I'm going, the wife will say, you are going nowhere. You are going where? Nowhere. You are going where? Nowhere. It's too dangerous. Yes. You are going where? Nowhere. Why? Because I say so. Listen to me for once. So, brothers and sisters, you need, without this hearing, letting Jehovah shepherd you and guide you, there is no hope. For a cow walking from Cape Town to Polokwane, from King Williamstown to Queenstown, from Queenstown to East London, from Umtata to Johannesburg, from Nkowankowa to Johannesburg. How far? You have no hope without the shepherd. I'm telling you, listen, every pastor, every shepherd, everybody here, you are sheep, you are also shepherd, you are both. So always remember, you are the two. In the same way, your people have no hope without you. Yes. That's why people don't know this Moses Sono who has been standing here and talking. People don't know what he is, what he has done for the people. Hopeless, except he had been there preaching. And you question how to honor him will be a question or a discussion. You don't know, understand yourself. What hope do you have without the shepherd? Yeah. People are very wicked. And that is why the church must be run by God's word and not by your ideas. Yes. Are you still around or you are leaving? Any church which doesn't honor its pastor and its shepherd, you don't know what you are doing. The more you honor your pastor, the more blessings will come to you. You see, because you don't honor pastor, that's why sometimes God will allow people to come and do magic and tricks on you. And do things, say, you sow a seed of this, do this, otherwise this is going to happen. I see death. I see you have a car, it's parked on a hill. I see you. I see a dwarf standing by your... There's a short man standing by, up to your knee height. He's standing by you. See me after church. I need to pray for you. And all kinds of gimmicks and tricks. And when you have a genuine shepherd who stands with you 20 years, 30 years, standing there, he's not changing. He's not changing into anything. He's standing faithful, sharing the word, guiding you. That's one you don't like. That's one you don't want to honor. Be careful. Number 10. Jehovah the great shepherd. When you have a shepherd, when you follow the Lord and you follow his guidance, that's when you will prosper. Psalm 23 verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. What is the immediate effect of having a shepherd? Is what? I'll say it again. What is the immediate effect of having a shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, if you are guided by the shepherd, by the good shepherd, by Jesus, by your shepherd on earth, if you yourself allow yourself to be guided by the shepherd, that is when you will enter into what we call I shall not want. You'll be surprised. Look, prosperity is not by working hard per se. To me, I would say, if I consider myself to be somebody who has prospered, I would say the greatest secret is following the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. He told me, give thyself wholly to these things. Give yourself completely to such things. That's what I did. Don't worry. Don't you worry with things. People are, don't. And the things people are dying for are being given to me. People are dying for these things. They have sacrificed their life, everything. They are calling for all these things have been added to me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Learn to be guided. Learn to be guided. Be guided in your relationships. Be guided in what God is telling you. Don't follow what everybody is doing, so you do this. Everybody is living here, so I must live there. Everybody has this car, so I must have this car. Everybody is going here, so I must go there. Be guided by the shepherd, and the instant result is, I shall not want. Look, many of us are in difficulty financially because of this verse. You have not followed the shepherd. When he even guides you, you don't. When he tells you honor somebody, you don't do it. Oh yeah. The Lord told me, honor. You are not a man of God, probably, if God has never told you to honor somebody. Because he works through his prophets. He said, I have also spoken by the prophet and multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of a prophet. By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet, he preserved him. You will know that it's by a prophet that the Lord brought you out of a certain place and brought you to another place. You will know it. If you are really walking with God, you will know that by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out and brought him in here. I know. The Lord used Kenneth Hagin to bless me. And the Lord said to me, honor him. Honor him. I did. I almost didn't. But I did. Several times I've heard him telling me, honor, because I'm not honoring the person. The person doesn't need. Look, the day I was going to honor Kenneth Hagin, he announced how much his tithe was. His tithe was like 20-something million or 200 million or something. So that when I calculate tithe, 10% is tithe, 20 whatever. I mean, then the income must be 200 and something million. For that year, he was 80-something years old. His tithe. Yeah. But the Lord told me, honor him. I didn't have much relative to the millions he was mentioning. But it was very important. And I honored him. Idahosa Benson Idahosa, 2 weeks before he died, he came to Ghana. I was sitting there. And the Lord said to me, honor him. Get an offering, dollars, and go to him and honor him. Just before that, we were having a service like this. Okay, sorry to use you. He called me. We were sitting there and I was wearing this collar. I don't know whether he did not like the collar. He called me and used me as an illustration. Let's go and say so that the people can see. Take off your scripture so that people can see. Yeah. He said, Idahosa, great man of God. He was about to die in 14 days. He said to me, kneel down. Kneel down. Then he held like. Then he used me as a letter, hitting me. And I was falling down with my collar. I was like a man of God. And I was falling down in front of the people. Wow. And as I fell down, I didn't feel love. I didn't feel love. And my offering that I had planned and brought was in my pocket, full of dollars, as I had been slain to the floor. So as I was lying on the floor, I said, this man, I will never give this offering to you. Get up, get up. The service ended. And again, I heard the Spirit say, never follow unforgiveness. It's an evil spirit. Never follow unforgiveness. I missed the opportunity to see him at the church. So I found his hotel. Yeah, I made my own finding out. Detective, I found. And I went there alone. I went there all alone. When I got there, it was not where I was expecting him to stay. I got there. I said, it's so-and-so there. So he said, tell him this person is here. So I went there all alone. I sat by him. He was going to die in 14 days. I presented him with the offer. I said, I want to honor you. You are a blessing. And he laid his and said, okay, wow. I'm sure he remember how he had been slaying me earlier. And he laid hands on me and prayed for me. And he told Bishop Duncan Williams, God is going to use that young man. That guy. Yeah. I was in the house. 2 weeks later, I had a phone call. It was Archbishop Duncan Williams. He said, the Archbishop has just died in Nigeria. I said, what? You see, God wanted me to honor him. Yes, very important. Galatians 6:6 comes before Galatians 6:7. Galatians 6:6 comes before Galatians 6:7. Did you know that? If you've been to class 3, you know that Galatians 6:6 comes before. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And then 6:7, be not deceived. God is not a fool. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. This verse is in relation to honoring God's servants. It's not in relation to bad things. It's in relation to Galatians 6:6. 6:7 is in relation to 6:6. Let God lead you to honor. Let God lead you in everything. Who to relate with? Yes. Not to break relationships and friendships. Let God lead you in all the relationships that are important in your life. Don't lead yourself. Don't lead yourself. You are a sheep. There is no hope for a cow going from King Williamstown to Queenstown to Port Elizabeth to Nkowankowa. Do you know Nkowankowa? Yes. There is no hope for you. From Springbok to Johannesburg to Klerksdorp to Freiburg, there is no hope. I know all your towns. I had crusades there. Are you still here or you are leaving? I'm talking about shepherding. I'm telling you, you are a sheep, so better get your tuning right so that you follow your shepherd. You will not do well without following your shepherd. You will not do well without following your shepherd. Yeah. You need a shepherd. You are a sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. How many have seen a shepherd walking in the field with a lot of sheep following him before? Sheep, cows. How many have seen a shepherd walking in the field with 17 snakes following him? Ask your neighbor, are you a snake or a sheep? Some of our members are snakes, I tell you. Do you know why snakes are found on their own most of the time? They are independent. No one can lead you. No one can guide you. No one can tell you what to do. You think a cobra will say, come, three cobras, three of you, come this way, let's go. Have you seen it before? 17 vipers. Come on, vipers, let's go. Black mambas, green mambas, Jameson mambas. No. The black mamba will lift itself above the ground. They are known to be as you are trying to lead him. So come on, my dear. Come this way. He will lift his body up one third above the ground. And he can move faster than most sprinters. It's only this Jamaican, what's his name? Bolt and others who are may be faster. Because they go about 20 kilometers per hour. They are known to turn round and attack the person who is shepherding them. are known to do what? To turn around and attack. One time a story is told of a black mamba. Somebody was running away from it, and it started to chase its shepherd. And then he couldn't, so he turned himself into a ring, a ball, and rolled down the mountain in a ring like this to come and attack. What a sheep, what a member. What type of members are these? Tell your neighbor, I'm guidable. I am guidable. In Jesus' name. We are finishing. Please, quickly. Number 11. Restoration of your soul. Shepherds. Restoring your soul. What Dr. Elijah Mashwangani said today, he's trying to restore our souls. Yes, as South Africans. You see, a South African is the best person to tell South Africans what we need. Yes. If I say something, you may think, oh, but it's restoring your emotions and your will. South Africans are affected by apartheid. And the way it has affected you is you are struck against everything that is authority. Yes, we don't want this, we don't want that. It is something wrong. You see, there is something wrong with that. So now you strike against anything that is high. That's why many pastors in South Africa cannot call their members and say, come, all of you be here at 6 o'clock. They tell you, you can't come and tell us what to do. You can't just tell us what you want us to do. You can't do that. This is the standard response we have seen all over South Africa, all over the country. You can't just tell us, come at 6 o'clock. You can't just have a meeting without telling us the closing time, the opening time. You can't just have a meeting from morning to the evening without... You can't just come and you can't. There is no country in the world which speaks to its president like South Africans speak to your president. Nowhere. So what is it? You see that your soul needs to be healed so that you don't hate anything that is high. You cannot do that because God ordains leaders. You can't hate authority. You can't hate authority. And through your shepherds, your soul is being restored. Do you believe it? Tell your neighbor, you are the first person who needs restoration. Your neighbor, you are the first person who needs that restoration. Tell your neighbor, don't think of somebody else, think of yourself. Number 12, great Jehovah leads in the path of righteousness. And number 13, Jehovah the great shepherd prepares a table for frightened sheep. And number 14, the great shepherd comforts the agitated sheep. And number 15, Jehovah the shepherd anoints his needy sheep. How many are going to become great shepherds? Will you anoint the people? I said, will you anoint the people? Will you comfort the agitated sheep? Yes. One day, a lady in our church, her husband died. And I was with her. I would take her and drive her around. She was a young bride. Not a bride, she was a young wife. Too young. Talking. I was trying to comfort the agitated sheep. Yes. There are a lot of things that have no explanation and no good reason. Even Romans 8:28 doesn't work. All things work together, but it doesn't work. You say, all things work together for good. It doesn't work at certain times. Later on, there was another lady who's also lost her husband. And I was sitting with this other one. Some years later, I was sitting with this other one who had just also had that experience. Then I saw this one whose husband had died earlier. And I said, come. Look at your sister. Look at what has just happened. What do you have to tell her? And she stood back. She was surprised at my question. She said, well, what I can say is the hand. I wasn't even conscious. I put my hand around her. I was sitting on a flower pot outside. I put my hand around her. And she said, that hand that is holding you, that is what I can say will help you. That is what helped me. Yes, that's what she told me. The shepherd comforts the agitated sheep. She didn't give any good advice. The only advice she gave was that the hand, which was my hand. As soon as she said that, I became conscious of my hand, but I wasn't conscious of myself. How many want to be wonderful shepherds for your wonderful sheep? Wow, God is going to use you. That's the art of ministry. Amen. That's the art of shepherding. You are the next good shepherd in town in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for wonderful shepherding skills that are released to your church today. What a blessing to be wonderful shepherds and to serve you in a fantastic and wonderful way. We give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Ashes, we are going to receive a quick offering before we go. Listen, our offerings are not much at all. I want everybody to give a good offering. God is going. If you have your envelope from earlier, come and put it in the baskets which are in front here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Everybody take out an offering. Ashes are going to come round and I'm going to pray about either.